let us worship our King.
Come, let us worship our King. Come, let us bow at His feet. He has done great things. See what our Savior has done. See how His love overcomes. He has done great things.
Well, good morning. Good morning. It's good to see everybody that's here this morning. Glad to have those of you who are joining with us online, whether you're on YouTube, on Twitter, on Facebook, any of those different social media platforms that we're on. Want to encourage you to heart, to like, to share there, so be sure to do that. Subscribe on YouTube. Make some comments there. That just helps with their algorithms to get the word out even more. And then also want to say welcome to those who are listening on our phone live streaming. We have several who use that. If you're here this morning and you know someone who doesn't use the computer but would like to listen on the phone, see me after the service. I'll be glad to give you the phone number for that, or you can call the church office this week and we'll be glad to share that with you that way also. If you are at home and you have access to the church website, I want to encourage you to go to highlandbaptistchurch.com. It's under the info tab that you can download today's worship bulletin. Those are at the doors and the windowsills if you're here in person, so be sure to get one of those. Lots of upcoming activities. And then also we have our children's worship bulletins. We have ones for ages 7 and up, one for ages 3 and up. They're over here in the windowsill, and some of those are already gone this morning, so be sure to get the rest that are there. If you're at home, you can download those under that info tab also there. And then also under that info tab is our prayer list. Be sure and get that downloaded. We encourage you to be praying through the prayer list there for each one of those individuals that are on the list there. And you can find that as a paper copy across from the offices there. So just wanted to remind you of those things. Want to say welcome this morning. If you're one of our guests, one of our first-time guests especially, we want to encourage you. In the pew in front of you should be a card there that has a QR code on it. You can scan that and fill that out online. You can fill the paper version out that's there. Encourage you to do that. That way we can follow up with you to let you know how glad we are to have you with us this morning. And then also on the sides of the stage, as well as at the doors when you leave today, be sure to pick up one of our gift bags. It's just a way we want to say welcome this morning. It's got some information about our church and our services, as well as some gifts and things in it for you and for the children also. So be sure to pick up one of those this morning. So Brother Mike, if you'll come and lead us.
Well, good brisk Sunday morning. If you would, take your hymnals and stand, and let's sing with the choir here, hymn 330, Amazing Grace. Let's stand.
You'll notice in your bulletins our missionary moment of the week. I want to encourage you to take the time to read about our missionary, Faith Garland, who is serving in Boston, Massachusetts. You can also find her information on day 4 in the prayer guide there. So if you've not picked up one of those prayer guides, those are around at the doors as well as at the windowsills. Be sure to pick up one of those. I think they're on the sides of the stage here also. But we want to share a video from Faith so that you can hear from her personally about the work that is going on there in Boston and what the Annie Armstrong Easter offering means to support the ministry there through her ministry. So prayerfully listen this morning.
There are so many that don't know Jesus in the city of Boston. I lead the Beloved Initiative, which is an anti-trafficking and sexual abuse awareness campaign. My ministry right now looks like reaching our refugee friends and their families, our homeless friends, and also women who are experiencing exploitation. There are so many parts to the equation. We look for, you know, creative ways to, you know, meet needs. I'm really passionate about gifting essential products, but it's the importance of leaving the pews and going out and being the light and love of Jesus. We have volunteers within our churches. We're creating, you know, earrings and bracelets to then use those for our street outreach. We can just bless women that are in strip clubs or on the street. And the goal is just really that the lost will be reached with the love of Christ. When people give to the Annie Armstrong offering, individuals are receiving Christ and realizing their beloved identities as beloved sons and daughters. Your generous support is going towards so many individuals who do not have a relationship with Jesus, helping them realize that they are loved and loved by Christ.
Be sure to take a look there in the prayer guide. You can find out a little bit more. We also shared, believe it was on Wednesday, the information about Faith and her ministry there. If you want to go back and see that video or even read some more on her ministry there. But pray for Faith and her volunteers as they seek to build relationships with people there who have been trafficked and abused, for more churches to learn about and join the ministry there towards human trafficking. And then also just pray for endurance and encouragement and safety for Faith and her volunteers as they seek to reach out, as well as future staffing needs. So let's go to the Lord in prayer for our missionaries, as well as for Faith Garland. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you so much for the blessing of this day. We thank you, Lord, for Faith Garland and others like her who have answered the call to missions. Father, we thank you for the privilege and the opportunity we have to come alongside our North American missionaries and to support them through our prayers, through our giving, as well as even through our going. And so, Father, I pray that in all those ways, you would lay that special burden upon our hearts to continue to uplift each one of our missionaries in prayer, especially as we emphasize one each week, and in particular today, Faith Garland. Father, we pray for that ministry and that you'll just place a hedge of protection about her and the volunteers who are ministering to individuals who are caught up in human trafficking there. Father, we just pray that you will just have your hand upon them. Lord, open opportunities for them to share the good news of the gospel, to minister to people and their lives and where they are. And Father, we just pray that we, as supporting them through our prayers and financially through the Annie Armstrong Easter offering for North America Missions, Lord, that you would bless that offering. Help us to reach our goal, Lord, so that more people can go and share the gospel, and so that more souls will be saved as the gospel is shared. So bless all of them, Lord. Bless us this morning as we come to worship you, Lord. Sometimes we come with a lot of burdens upon our hearts, so many things that are going on in our lives, and we just want to come and lay those at the foot of the cross, Lord, and allow you to just take those burdens off of us, Lord, to use us this morning to speak to us through the message in song, through the message in your word, and may you just be glorified and honored in all that we say and do this morning. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen and amen. So do encourage you to continue to be praying. This emphasis, even though the prayer guide ends today on the eighth day, want to encourage you to use that all throughout this month, especially to be praying about giving, especially if you've not given yet. You can do giving through our online place there on the website at highlandbaptistchurch.com. Go to the far right-hand side. You can do your regular online giving. You can do your Annie Armstrong Easter offering giving for North American Missions. Those envelopes are in the pews in front of you, the North North American Mission ones are at the doors and the windows too, that you can grab one of those and just place it in the offering plate later. So just wanted to encourage you to take the time to do that, especially if you're at home. You can be able to do that giving online. And then let me just remind you once again, our Hoosier One emphasis that we're emphasizing all this month. If you've not done one of these cards, we continue to add cards, and we're down to about five or six more pegs, but we've got more holes that are on there that we can put more pegs in. So just want to encourage you, if you've not done that yet, and you know someone who may be lost, on this blue section here on the back of it, if you'll just fill that out with the individual's first names, all you got to put. You can even just put an initial if you want. You'll put those in the offering plate. We'll record that, and then we'll put that on the cross. And then we are also giving out some white cards, and those are down here on the stage in front of me, as well as on the tables outside. We've added the ones that you gave us last Sunday to these stacks. We wanted to make sure at least everybody got one of these, but you can pick up more than one of these if you want. So these cards are ones, some of the names that individuals have already given to us, and so you can help to pray for those individuals, one, as they're seeking to pray for them to come to faith in Christ. So be sure to pick up one of those. And then we've also got some cards down here in front of the pulpit, that are about our annual Easter egg hunt that's coming up March the 23rd from 1 to 3. Just want to encourage you to pick up one of these and to give this to individuals to invite them to come to that, or to just come to our Easter services. Those dates and services are listed on the back also. We'll be doing some mail out here this week also. So we've got two big stacks that we need labeled. If you're willing to help us with that, please see me after the service, and we'll get those two stacks to the first two that come to me to get those. So just want to encourage you to help us with that, and then we can get those sent out this week. I think that's all that I have for now. So, Brother Mike, oh, there's one more thing. Sorry, Brother Mike. It is in your bulletin, and that's, usually we don't mention things that are in your bulletin because you can read what's there in your bulletin. But I did want to give just a word of information about the announcement that's in there about disaster relief. Many of you have told me that you're interested in signing up for disaster relief. You've signed up on the paper out in the hallway. The training is coming to happen. It's going to be April the 13th here at Highland. It's going to be, registration will open at 7:30, and the final class will end at 2:30. There's an earlier class that I think ends about 11:30, so you don't have to even be here until 2:30 if you don't want. But there's going to be two classes that are going to be offered. One is going to be chainsaw, and that's going to be offered in the morning time. The other one's going to be mud out or restoration. That's going to be offered up to the 2:30 time, as well as the intro class that everyone who wants to do disaster relief training has to do with that. The cost is $40, but we don't want you to let that be the hindrance for you. If you need that, if you need help with that, we'll be glad to help you with that from the church. But we do need those forms filled out, and we do need to know whether you would be here for the training or not. We need to let the association know so we can also know for how many for the meal. So you may have already signed up on the sheet out here. If you'll just go back to where you signed up there on the sheet and just say, I'll be at the training or something like that out beside your name. And you can add your name to that list also there. If you want to do that during the week, just call the church office and we'll be glad to give you those forms that you'll need to fill out. There's a QR code there in your bulletin that you can scan that'll take you to the website for you to download those forms to bring on that training day. But if you need those forms printed out yourself, printed out for you, we can do that from the church here for you too. So, Brother Mike?
I don't know if you notice it or not, but if you open your hymn books, the songs usually are grouped for what the purpose is or what the meaning they're trying to convey. You know, whether it's dealing with the cross or whether it's friendship or what, but oddly enough, most of our songs today fall under the invitation and acceptance grouping. So that's why it sounds like all of our songs this morning are invitation songs, is because they are. So if you would, this next hymn is Softly and Tenderly, which is hymn 312. You can stay seated on this one, but if you don't sing, please still read the words, because the words are wonderfully written. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Children's Church will be gathering on the piano side during this next hymn. And if you would, please stand and join us again in singing, "Lord, I'm Coming Home," hymn 309.
Excuse me if I
Praise the Lord that He found us. Take your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 15. We're picking up where we left off last week in this parable that Jesus is sharing that has three parts to it. We saw the first two parts in chapter 15, the part about the lost sheep, then also about the lost coin, and today we're going to see about the lost son. And so I've entitled this message this morning, The One That Matters, and this is a continuation of our series that we're in here of Who's Your One. And so let's stand as we read God's Word in honor of His Word. We're just going to read this first verse, beginning here with verse 11, Luke chapter 15, verse 11. And he said, there was a man who had two sons. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this passage this morning. And we just ask, Heavenly Father, that your Spirit will move in our hearts, Lord. For those of us who are believers, that we would be stirred to be more faithful than ever before, knowing, Lord, that the days that we have left on this earth continue to get shorter and shorter each and every day. And so we don't have very long of a life to make an impact for your kingdom. So I pray that in whatever days that every one of us has here who is present or watching online, Lord, that we would make the most impact that we can for the kingdom of Christ by sharing the good news of the gospel and discipling those who become believers. And Father, we just pray this morning also, especially for those who may hear this message, Lord, that although this may seem to be somewhat directed towards those who are part of the body of Christ already, Lord, there's a message here of the gospel message for those who are outside the body of Christ, Father, who need Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And so I pray that they would hear that message of love this morning from Christ as He shares this parable with us. So speak through your word, make it truthful, plain to us. Help us to understand the truthfulness of it. Father, I pray that you'll help us to apply it to our hearts and our lives, and I just pray it'll make an impact upon our lives in a great and a mighty way. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And you can be seated. So as we come to this section here of chapter 15, verses 11 down to verse 32, Jesus tells a story here and told this story some 2,000 years ago. It's probably one of the most famous, one of the most beloved stories that he ever told. Unbelievers know this story. Non-churchgoers know this story. It's actually part of a parable that's the longest parable that Jesus ever told, and it has more dialogue than any other parable that he told. It's one of those stories that you just never really get tired of hearing or even telling. Anybody and everybody can relate to this story, and somehow we can all find ourselves somewhere in this story.
Shakespeare himself wrote plays based on this story. The famous painter Rembrandt painted a portrait of it. Charles Dickens, perhaps the greatest novelist in English language, called it the greatest short story of all time. So if we turn the stories of Jesus into songs, it would probably be voted one of the most popular of all time songs. It's also one of the most mistold stories, because most of the time when this story is told and is recounted, it stops where the prodigal son comes home. But it's more than just about one son, because here in this opening verse, Jesus tells us to open this parable, there was a man who had two sons. There are two sons, they are two brothers, and they both represent every person in this world that is far from God. So as we are in this series here on who's your one, I want you to realize that there is one that always ought to matter to your heart. That's Jesus. And outside of Jesus, there ought to be individuals upon your heart, at least one who you want to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And so it's that one who's the lost sheep that we talked about last time, the one who's the lost silver coin, and that one lost son that's far away from God that needs to come home, and we all need to have our one. So Jesus here is not only talking about just two sons, he's talking about two groups of people in this story. He's talking about sinners, and he's talking about Pharisees, people who were banned from going to church and people who never missed going to the synagogue. There were two groups of people here. One group was so bad that they didn't think that God would ever accept them. There was no way God could ever love them. The other group was so good, or thought they were so good, that they thought that God had already accepted them, but they were wrong, as Jesus is going to tell them in this parable. There's another misconception in that this story is about either son, because it really isn't about just these sons. The main character of this story is the father. It's why Rembrandt, when you ever look at his picture, put the father right in the midst, in the middle of his canvas. The father is mentioned 12 times in these 20 verses. He's the one who's the real hero of this story. So this story isn't so much about a sinning son or a bitter son, but it's about a forgiving father. And of course, we know, as we see when we read through this story, that God is the Father, that's represented there by the Father. The whole point of this parable is very simple. It's this, that the Father's door is always open and that the Father's message is always welcome. I love you. So this parable actually falls into three very different parts that tell us about the heart of our wonderful God. So here's the first part I want you to get from this parable this morning, and this is this, that the Father loves us even when we rebel against Him. The Father loves us even when we rebel against Him. The story begins here with the son who evidently has a good home, has a good home life. He has a wonderful father. He has everything in life that you could ever want. But for whatever reason, he's convinced that the grass is greener over on the other side. He was tired of sowing corn in the field. He wanted to go sow his wild oats in the city. And so we pick up with verse 12. And the younger of these two sons said to his father, "Father, give me." So right there, you can already see the selfishness in what he's asking. Give me. I want what I want. Give me. So he says, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. So immediately, this would have shocked the people listening to Jesus, because the Jewish law was very clear and was very simple. When there were two brothers, the older brother was to get 2/3 of the inheritance, and the younger was to get 1/3. There was only one catch, though. You did not get the inheritance until the father was dead. And so, in effect, what we see this son is saying to his father is, I wish you were dead. I wish I have what you have instead of you having it. I wish you were dead so that I could have it. Could you just imagine, as Jesus is sharing this parable here, and you could just imagine hearing anything that would be more devastating from one of your children than that. I wish you were dead, because I want my inheritance, and I want it now. And the only way for me to get my inheritance now means you need to have died. He had dishonored his father. He had disgraced his father. He had disowned his father. And so as Jesus is telling this story, the audience would have expected this father to just kick that young man out, to give him a good beating or at least a tongue lashing, but he does the unthinkable and grants this son's request, and he divides the inheritance and gives them their inheritance. He's letting this son know, you may love my stuff more than you love me, but I love you more than I love all this stuff. And this young man leaves with a big smile on his face, and you could just see that dad with tears streaming down his face. Things started off evidently pretty well, but then we come to verse 13. Not many days later. Not many days later, the young son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. So get the picture here. Here is this young man who's flying with the jet set life. He's traveling in the fast lane. Good times are rolling. He's sleeping in the day. He's partying at night. He's decided, I don't want to stay around here anymore. I've got what I wanted. I'm going to go off and do what I want to do now. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. It felt good. He did it. He had the wealth. He had the women. He had the wine. He was like a rich kid in a cheap candy store. But all the good times eventually came to an end. Look at verse 14. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. Now, the word there that tells us there that he, in verse 13, he had squandered his property in reckless living there, literally means to blow. He blew it all. He didn't just blow the money. He had blown his character. He had blown his reputation. He had blown his integrity. He blew his influence. He blew his happiness. And most of all, he had blown his relationship with his family. He had gone from hero to literally zero. His pocketbook was empty. The women are gone. The wine glass had dried up. And for the first time in his life, he's about to get used to being broke, but he still hasn't hit rock bottom yet. Notice verse 15 and verse 16. So there's a famine going on. He's lost everything that he had. He squandered it all. He began to be in need, as verse 14 told us. And now verse 15 says, so he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the figs ate. And no one gave him anything. Now, if you know anything about the Jewish culture and pork, nothing else needs to be said. Pigs to them were considered to be one of the most unclean animals of all, and no self-respecting Jew would ever work tending the pigs in a pig pen. Here was this young man who had wanted to live high on the hog, if you will, and he ends up living with the hogs. There's a point here that we don't need to miss also that Jesus is making. Here's what Jesus wants us to understand from this part at least, that the world will take everything you have and give you nothing that you need. This young man had lost everything. Nobody would even give him any food. He had lost everything except the most important thing, the love of his father. And there's one thing that's true of all of us, that no matter who we are or where we are or if we're in a bad place or not or why we got to where we are, there's a Father in heaven who loves you. And there is no limit to how far he'll go and no limit to how long he will wait for you to return. Someone said it beautifully and said that a sinner may go to hell unsaved, but they'll never go to hell unloved. Because God has loved them when they were yet a sinner, in that he sent his only begotten son, Jesus, to die on the cross for them. The Father loves us even when we turn our backs on him and even when we do everything we can to break his heart. He still loves us. Secondly, Jesus wants us to see in this parable that the Father looks for us until we return to him. So the son has gone from the penthouse, if you will, to the outhouse, from the pig house to the dog house. And no wonder verse 16 says this, and he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. This young man needed to change his last name to bankrupt, because in every way that you could imagine, that's exactly where he was. He was financially bankrupt. He was spiritually bankrupt. He was relationally bankrupt. And the only thing that you really could say to this young man was, cheer up, son, things couldn't get worse than they are right now. He couldn't get any lower than rock bottom. And now we come to part two of the story in verse 17. And it begins with that one word that's such a lovely word to us when we read the scripture so often. It's that word, but. Here's what was happening, but. It's the passage that we see so often that we're in sin, and such as the passage that tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so verse 17 says, but when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger. I love the way it puts it here in this passage, in verse 17, when he came to himself. It's literally there, when he came to his senses. You see, when you go to a far country, and by the way, a far country isn't hard to find. It's on every map. Because no matter where you are, if you're separated from God and you're far from God, then you're living in a far country. And it doesn't just affect your heart, it affects your mind. Not only can you not live right, you can't even think straight. And so here's this young man who is finally awakened. He's finally smelled the coffee. He's finally learned his lesson. He reads the tea leaves. He realizes here's the only path left for him. Verse 18 and verse 19. He says, I'll arise and go to my father. And I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. Sin either leads us to utter destruction or to broken repentance. Notice those words again, that he came to himself, that means that he came to the place of repentance. He had thought long and hard about his father and his enormous provisions that his father had given him. And so this prodigal son here remembers how his father had been able to provide for all that he needed. He remembered the sense of belonging. He remembered being a part of a family and a fellowshipping together among all the servants at his father's house, and the great provision there of love and joy and peace and purpose and meaning and significance. And he began to realize just how empty he really was. And he begins to think about humbling himself. In the beginning of the story, he was full of all kind of pride. He was saying, give me, it's all about me. And now he's come to the place, I can go back to my father's house, and I can just throw myself on his mercy, and he'll at least let me to be like one of his hired servants. Humbling himself involved a couple of significant steps. One is repenting. So this prodigal son would have had to arise. That is, he would have had to turn from and leave that far country that he had gone to and go to his father. In other words, he was going in one direction that was away from God, and now he's come to his senses, and he needs to make his beeline straight back to the cross, straight back to Jesus. Repentance is simply a changed life, a life that turns from sin to righteousness, from self to God, from this world to heaven, from the temporal to the eternal. And so this humbling of himself involves repenting, but it also involves confessing, because this prodigal son would have had to confess, I messed up, I did wrong, I have sinned. He had to confess his sin, his unworthiness to be called his father's son, and he arose and returned to his father. Kind of like a pigeon, a homing pigeon in their instinct. It had just kicked in on this young man, and he wanted to go home because he knew that was the only place left that he had to turn. Let me say to you this morning, you never have to ask your Heavenly Father if you can come home. Because the door is always open. He is always wanting you to come home. But then as Jesus is telling the story here, the next verse would bring tears to any eye. Notice verse 20. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. As Jesus is telling this story, people would have begun to tear up in their eyes. The son had turned his back on the father, but the father had never turned his back on the son. The son who had strutted out that front door smelling like a rose now was coming down the road stinking like a pig. Long before he saw his father, though, his father saw him. And again, the scene would have just crushed the ones who were listening to the story. Because you see, in ancient Hebrew culture, it was considered completely undignified for an older man to run. To run, you had to take off all your outer garments and strip down to basically your undergarments so that you could run. That's why many times it would say you have to pick up your garment and gird your belt so that you can be able to run. And so that's what the father's doing here. He stripped himself of anything that's going to inhibit him from getting to his son. But that day, that dad, he didn't care about what the world thought. He wanted the whole world to know that his love for his son was unconditional. Understand this, there are two arms that will always be open to him, and that was the arms of his dad. And that's what makes this story even more amazing, because at first the son is broke, now he's broken. The father literally here is smothering his boy with kisses. He's embraced him. He's hugging him. He's kissing him. He just can't believe his son has finally come home. The boy was filthy. But the dad, he didn't care about all the dirt. He smelled like a pig, but the dad couldn't smell all that stink. He was kissing that boy so much that that young man, he couldn't even talk. You see, whenever a sinning son meets a forgiving father, love flows like a river. and joy explodes in our hearts. So get this picture down, because what we're looking at here is Jesus is telling this story is how God the Father treats everybody who decides to come home, no matter how far they've gone into the far country. So I want to say this morning, I don't know where you are in your life right now. You may think that you've gone so far away that you could never come home. Let me just tell you this, that the Father looks at you with eyes that forgive you. He speaks to you with the heart of forgiveness. He runs to you with the feet of forgiveness. He embraces you with the arms of forgiveness, and he kisses you with the lips of forgiveness. So this son, he tries to give that rehearsed speech that he's been thinking about ever since he was in that pig pen. He begins to try to share that, and notice what happens in verse 21 down to verse 24. So the son said to him, "Father," here's the confession, "I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But, there's that word again. Don't you love it? "But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate." Notice as the son tried to share this rehearsed speech, all the son was asking for was just a minimum wage, to be just a minimum wage servant. But he never even got to really finish the sentence, because the father gives him the best robe. Who did the best robe belong to? It belonged to the father. And the son said, "Father, I have sinned." But the robe was saying, "Your sins are forgiven." The father put that signet ring on his hand. The ring in that day was a way of transacting business. In essence, the dad gave that young man, he was giving him access to his bank accounts, to his credit cards, if you put it in today's terms, all of his money. So when the son said, "I'm no longer worthy to be called your son," the ring was saying, "But I am worthy to call you my son." And then it says he gave him sandals, gave him shoes for his feet. Back in the day, slaves went barefoot. Only family members got to wear shoes. And so the father was saying, the son was saying, "Just make me one of your hired servants." But those shoes were saying, "You're not a servant. You're my son. You're my child." And so this young man, he gave the father nothing, but he had taken everything. He took everything he had. The father took nothing from the son, but gave him everything he needed. And he tells his servants there to go and kill the fattened calf. You know, most meals in that day didn't involve meat, but because it was too expensive. And any meat that was eaten was many times reserved for only the most special occasions. So no meat was more expensive than the fattened calf. And with a feast like this, everybody in the village would be invited. His dad wanted everyone in the village to know that this son that I have been looking for to come home, he has come home, and it's time for us to celebrate. Now, normally, this is where most everybody ends the story. But remember, there's a second son. The first son represents the sinner, the people who are outside the church. The second represents the Pharisees, the people who are inside the church. And here's what we learn in this third lesson. The Father longs for us when we reject him. Now, you would think that everyone would have been happy in the story, but here's a person who wasn't happy. Look at verse 25. "Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound.' But he was angry and refused to go in And his father came out and entreated him, pleaded with him. So amazingly, this son is so angry, he takes the radical step of breaking his relationship with his father, because for a son to refuse to go in to any part of a banquet in that day where the father was the host, that was an insult to the father. It was a cultural slap in the face, if you will. So why was this son so angry? Notice verse 29. But he answered his father, "Look, these many years I have served you. I have never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me even a young goat that I may celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him." So get the picture here. One son was ashamed of his sinfulness. The other was proud of his goodness. "I've been good all this time. I've done all these good things." Both sons were far from God, only the second son didn't even realize it. You know, the hardest person to win to Jesus Christ isn't the person who believes he doesn't deserve the grace of God. It's the person who doesn't think he needs the grace of God. Both are equally far from God. One person rebels against the goodness of God, the other rejects the grace of God. And so, you know, when you look at the older brother, you begin to understand why the younger brother wanted to leave home to begin with. The younger brothers are still out there in the pig pen and don't want to come home. They don't want to come to church because they see a church full of older brothers who don't want them to come. They see judgmental, self-righteous people who'd rather use a finger to point out their faults than to use a hand to show them love. That's why when Jesus is talking about this older brother, he's talking about the church leader. He's talking about the Pharisees who went to church all the time, who went to the synagogue. And that's why this story concludes with these words in verse 31 and verse 32. And he said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found." Do you understand what God is saying to us through these very words? He's saying to us who are in the church, who are part of the body of Christ, he's saying that the church that have given our lives to God, those who are trying to live for him, those who are seeking to obey him and to honor him, that the one that matters is the one outside the church who has no need for God, no use for God, no love for God. So as far as we know, this older brother never did go in. It reminds us of something we've seen in our own lives before, and it's this. It's much easier to reach unrighteous people for God than it is to reach self-righteous people for God. You know, you have a better chance of, you know who has a better chance of going to the doctor? It's not the person who's sick but thinks that he's well. It's the person who may feel well but he realizes he's sick. So I want you to think about one last thing. Did you know that there's actually a third son in the story? It's the one who tells the story. It's the Son of God who died on a cross and came back from the dead so that the door of forgiveness would always be open and the lights of heaven would always be on so that our story could always have a happy ending. So understand this morning, if you're living your life in a far country, you're living away from God, then know that there's a Father who is watching. There is a Father who is wanting to welcome you home. And no matter how far away you've gone, you can come back. No matter how far out you've gone, you can come in. No matter how far down you have gone, you can come up to the Father. And we as Christians are to be loving and looking and longing for that one that matters. Jesus told this parable to tell us this, that he wants us to go out and to see the sinner and to seek the sinner and to share with the sinner how they can be saved, how they can know Jesus. Jesus wants us to go out and look for people who aren't here. Aren't you glad that you can invite anybody to come to church? You can invite them to come and join. Did you know that the church is the only institution that exists for the benefit of its non-members? The church is not about us. The church is about God and about reaching out to others to share with them what we've found, what somebody came and shared with us. And so I believe Jesus here was trying to teach in this parable that everyone should always be trying to reach someone. That's why we ought to build relationships with our neighbors, with those that we work with, those that we go to school with. And in the process, we need to build bridges between them, and we need to share the Lord Jesus Christ with them. You know why that's so important? You know what kind of encounters the Holy Spirit uses most often to produce fruit that lasts? He uses a witness from a heart that's motivated by love and friendship. A survey with the Institute of American Church Growth showed that 83% of new believers come to Christ through a friend or an acquaintance who explains the gospel on a one-on-one basis. So let me encourage you, write those names down. Start praying for that individual. First of all, because salvation is not a work of you. You can't make anybody get saved. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And so we need to be praying for the Holy Spirit to be working in people's lives. But then as you begin praying for those individuals, you need to be looking for opportunities to share the gospel with those individuals. You know, there's only two kind of Christians in this world: those who talk about the lost and those who talk to the lost. So if you want to see rejoicing in heaven, how did this story end with these two brothers when the lost brother came home? They celebrated. We saw that in the other stories. We saw that in the story about the lost sheep and about the lost coin. There was celebration in heaven when one who was lost was found, when one who was dead was made alive. So start looking for those opportunities to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And with God's help, I pray that we will be a part of that, so that not only will heaven be rejoicing, but so will we. Who is your one? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this passage this morning. What a powerful parable. Father, I thank you so much for what we have learned. Lord, that when something is lost, we need to drop everything and be looking for that which is lost. Just like the shepherd looked for the lost sheep, the woman looked for the lost coin, and the father was always looking for the son who was lost. Father, somebody at some point looked for us and came and shared with us the good news of the gospel. Maybe that was our parents. Maybe that was a Sunday school teacher or a pastor, or maybe it was a friend of ours who shared about Jesus with us. And yet, Lord, for many of us, we've never looked to find that person to share with. So, Father, I pray that you would stir our hearts this morning to make sure, Lord, that we are making the impact that we can make where we are. Knowing, Lord, that salvation is a work of the Holy Spirit, so may we be praying for the Holy Spirit to work in people's hearts, praying for the Holy Spirit to give us the words to speak and to share, praying that those individuals will hear what they need to hear when we share with them. Lord, that if we mess everything up in sharing with them, they'll hear only the things they needed to hear, and that they will come to faith in Christ, or at the very least, a seed would be planted in their hearts, that someone else would come along and water, and someone else would come along maybe and harvest. But yet so often, Lord, so many of us here are like the older son. We're angry that the focus is on them out there instead of me in here. So, Father, I pray that we would come to the place of brokenness and repentance. Maybe we need to come this morning to this altar, Lord, to just call out to you in prayer and to say, God, forgive me for the way I've been treating people around me. Help me to be a witness through my words and through my actions and my lifestyle to others. But Father, there may be some who are here, there may be some who are watching online who they've never trusted by faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior. Oh, they've heard the good news of the message of the gospel, but they wanted their own way. And they found themselves in the pig pen of life this morning. And Lord, they have finally come to their senses and realized, I need Jesus as my Savior. Father, I pray that they would call out to you and say, Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I repent of my sin. I turn away from it, and I turn to follow you, Lord. Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Save me. Come into my life and help me to live for you all the days of my life. Father, I pray that if someone's prayed something like that in their hearts this morning, may they come to publicly profess that faith in Christ, to follow through in the waters of baptism. But Lord, we give this invitation to you. Lord, we come to you. And I pray, God, that your will be done. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Would you stand? Would you sing our hymn of invitation with us this morning? Seated for just a moment, Brother Jonathan, if you'll come and share our announcements.
Good morning. Miss Laura has an announcement to make.
Good morning. We are about 2 weeks out from our Easter egg hunt. Thank you so much to all who have helped to stuff the eggs in the hallway. It's going to be on March 23rd, that's a Saturday, from 1 to 3 p.m., and this is for children birth through fifth grade. If they could just bring their Easter basket with them, we'll have food and crafts and an egg hunt. It's free to the community. So if you have kids or grandkids or neighbors, we would love for them to come. If you're thinking, wow, that sounds like a lot of fun, I wish I could be involved in that, there's a sign-up sheet in the hallway. Outside the pastor's office. So whatever your skills, we have a place for you. If you have no skills whatsoever, we have a place for you. So it's going to be a blessing. Thank you.
Pastor Matt.
Good morning, church. A couple things I wanted to put on your radar. If you are happen to walk in Walmart or a grocery store, I want to encourage you, pick up a few packs of sunflower seeds or some Gatorades. As we begin to build relationships with the middle school baseball team and Motlow baseball team, I want to encourage you to think about those players. And I want to get a roster list of the players and put their names out on the bulletin board by my office. And if you could, you know, just write a card to a player, you know, hey, haven't met, but praying for you. Pray that God blesses you. These players are from all over the country, you know, and even for the middle school students, just an opportunity to reach out to them and be a blessing to them and be praying for them. Also, youth will meet tonight at 4:30. Also, continue to be praying for our students as we head to YC later this month in Murfreesboro. But if you would also be in prayer just for the students in general, as you know, there's a lot going on, and just with school and in the world today, peer pressure, just some things that are happening that you know, just be in prayer for. But again, just think about the baseball team, Motlow, and also the middle school baseball team, of ways that you can be a blessing to them and help them out. Because one of the things we're looking at doing is hopefully, you know, be able to provide a couple meals for them as well this year. Thank you.
Thank you. A couple of announcements today. There's a deacons meeting at 4 o'clock, and the prime timers, don't forget to sign up on the bulletin board if you plan on attending the prime timers this week. A few announcements for the prayer request. Miss Marlene Parker is in hospice. She's at home. She is up for visitors, but she asks you please call before you come see her. And please be in prayer for Pastor Matt's family. His cousin Natalie passed away of leukemia, and Pastor Jim and Miss Samantha's friend in North Carolina, Mr. Goff, he's in hospice as well. Any other announcements right now? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day and for your many blessings upon us, Lord. Please guide us as we go today, Lord, and please help for us to remember that we're to sow the seed of your word to everyone who is lost, Lord. Please guide us and lay us home, Lord, today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.